Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, let's talk books. And I'm joined by Catherine Ross, who's new director of library at Auckland Grammar. Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Fancy job at a fancy school. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, commandant of books, that's me.
And they've got a new library up there, don't they?
Yes, they do. It's a beautiful new library.
Yeah, I was in there hosting an awards ceremony earlier in the year, and that library is like a modern workspace. It's incredible.
It is. It's very beautiful. And we're so lucky to have the view as well, looking out down over the harbour and everything. So, but it's a beautiful space. It's been very carefully designed and thought about so that the kids can study and read and make the most of the surroundings.
I was going to say, maybe a library is better without a view. I know when you're trying to write something, it doesn't help having a beautiful view out the window.
Well, to be fair, they can turn their backs to it if they choose to.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking more for me. I've got to work here and look out at it all day.
So. Yeah. And so you've worked in an all-girls school before, and now you're in an all-boys school, which I'm sure will have different and equally rewarding challenges.
Yes, exactly. And I do have to shake up my reading list a little bit, I've realised. having spoken to some of the boys, I'm going to need to change some of my to-reads, I think.
Oh, he's not quite old enough for Auckland Grammar yet, but my boy's really into Percy Jackson. He's eight years old. There's loads of great adventure stories, and they quite often involve fantasy, and the classics feature quite heavily too, Catherine.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think... I guess because there's the adventure, there's the wars, there's all those, holding grudges and taking revenge and things like that. So I guess it's a good hook, especially for boys, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, today you're focusing on verse novels. What do we mean by verse novels?
So a verse novel basically is a free verse. So it's not bound by any kind of poetry rules. It doesn't have to be an iambic pentameter or rhyming or anything, but basically it's just a lot fewer words. And usually they're sort of pages with maybe three or four short paragraphs on them. So there's still a story. It's still beginning to end. It's still following a character development, but there's a lot fewer words. And I think I have talked about verse novels quite a bit before. I haven't done a theme on them for a wee while, but I find them sort of my go-to for reluctant readers because I think the students tend to see a verse novel as the least amount of effort for the biggest payback. There's fewer words on the page, less concentration, less reading time, but you've still read a whole book. And they tend to be quite complex stories. So they're good for the older students doing level two English and things like that. So, and the sense of achievement that one of the students gets when they have finished a whole book and they can say to their teacher, I've read this book. Quite often that's a first for some of them. And it does open up pathways, I find.
Well, intuitively, I don't know anything about the theory of this, but intuitively for me, starting with something like that, rather than starting with a book which is for a kind of a middle reader but has lots and lots of pictures in it, seems like it would be more likely to lead to more reading rather than, you know what I mean? The books with the pictures in them always make me think, why are you kind of missing the opportunity to imagine what this thing looks like for yourself?
Absolutely, and I think also a lot of the time you're looking at the picture and you're interpreting the picture. You're not necessarily reading the words. Pictures, especially at this level, at senior secondary school, it can be a little bit confusing, a little bit distracting. So I think you do need to focus on the narrative structure.
Yeah.
But I think also a lot of the books nowadays that we sort of say, well, as long as they're reading anything, but actually at this level, they need to also be looking at similes, metaphors, use of language, complex theories. And I think that verse novels do that. And generally speaking, they're beautifully written because it takes a real skill to write a whole engaging story with so few words. So I think they're much, much better than sort of giving them a David Williams or whatever and hoping they'll read. This is a real way of tuning into something that they're interested in that they can connect with. and giving them a sense of achievement when they finish the book.
Love it. Okay, what do you have to recommend?
Okay, so having said all of that about secondary school, I'm actually focusing quite a lot this time round on the sort of early teenage and tween novels, mostly because that statistics kind of show around 10 to 12, especially boys, that's when they disconnect with reading for pleasure. So if we can get them hooked onto a verse novel and just keep them reading through that hump period, then, you know, they're hopefully it will continue to, they'll have lifelong reading habits.
Yeah.
So the first one I'm reading, talking about, is for sort of 10 plus, I would say, and it's called Worse Things. It's set in Australia, and the story follows three different narratives. So you've got Jolene, who is a very talented hockey player, but she's very much following her mother's dream, and so now she's kind of not sure that she even really likes hockey, let alone wants to play it professionally.
Yeah.
You're also following Blake. Now, his life revolves around rugby. Now, it's never specifically sort of said what kind of rugby it is. It's something with an oval ball, but because it's Australia, it could well be Aussie rules.
Yeah.
So they just keep calling it the footy.
Footy, yeah.
Yeah. But he has had an injury, and so he's no longer able to play with the team for the rest of the season. And then you have Ahmed, who is a recently arrived refugee. So he is really struggling. He doesn't speak the language well, doesn't know the culture or the country. So I think that you follow these three narratives, and because the perspectives are both male and female, that's really great for engaging kids, especially, and I think, I mean, this is me being hugely stereotyping, but because it is very sports heavy, possibly will appeal to boys more. And so it's all their stories kind of overlap, even though they don't know each other before. And it's just about finding your identity and being comfortable with who you are and not being defined by one thing.
I've just found a little bit of the verse online. It says, when you're part of the team, the sideline is a place of refuge, of rest, of reprieve. But when you're out of the team, the sideline changes. Suddenly it's the loneliest place of them all. So that gives you a bit of a taster of the sort of language and the content of the book. Lovely.
That kind of complex theme, you know, that sort of imagery that they're portraying, that kids will pick up on. Everybody, all the kids of that age will have that experience of not being part of the team for whatever reason they've had to be removed. So, I thought it was a very, very beautifully written book.
Worst Things by Sally Murphy. For slightly older kids, middle school kids, Alias Anna, A True Story of Outwitting the Nazis. I'm laughing because it's so funny it's interesting how often Nazis pop up in middle school books.
Yes, I know. I haven't put this in the slightly older age bracket because the writing's more complex, say, than Worse Things, because it isn't. But the subject matter is just that little bit more confronting.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking about World War II, the Holocaust. So this is actually about two Ukrainian Jewish girls. So we don't often get stories from that area, although they were invaded by the Nazi regime fairly early on and they were occupied. So these two are piano prodigies and very visible in the Ukraine and quite well known. But they manage to hide their identities when the Nazis arrive. And they actually end up being sort of taken by the Nazis as showcase to the Nazi regime. And they're sort of put into a concert and toured around all of these occupied states during the war. And they end up sort of in the very heart of Berlin. These two young girls who have this desperate secret that they're keeping and any moment could be found out. And so it's quite tense.
Yeah.
And it is written, so it's written by Susan Hood, who's obviously the one who's got the literary, the talent. But Greg Dawson helped input it into it, and it's his mother, Zahana, who became Anna during the war, hence the title, Alias Anna, who is the inspiration behind the story. So it's got that real personal connection. There are some harrowing scenes and moments in the book, and I think that kids may want to discuss them, especially if they haven't become aware of the war or come into contact talking about the Second World War or about the Holocaust before.
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity to discuss these things, and there's some fantastic notes at the back of the book which do a lot of explaining on a very simple level.
Catherine Ross on Books for Young People, and we're talking about verse novels today. Starfish by Lisa Phipps.
Yeah, so this one I connected with a bit as well. I have to admit, I went through this a bit myself when I was young. So this is the story of a 12-year-old girl called Ellie, and she has been bullied about her weight for most of her life. Uh-huh. Even her mum is kind of sort of constantly watching what she eats and putting her on diets and horrible things like putting articles, weight loss articles up on the fridge door and things like that. And so poor Ellie actually lives by this set of rules that she's created called fat girl rules, which are things like don't eat in public because that draws attention to your eating and people will notice what you're eating, and move slowly so your body doesn't jiggle and awful things like that. Essentially, she's trying to make herself invisible. And so this is kind of a story of her finding herself. She, through two different friendships, so one with a new friend she makes and one with a therapist, that she starts seeing a therapist, she comes to kind of realize there's nothing wrong with her. It's everybody else that has the problem. And I think it's heartbreaking and harrowing what she goes through, but it is a very thoughtfully done illustration of how your words and actions and thoughts can affect other people. And I also like the fact that the answer wasn't a makeover. You know, her attitude to herself didn't heal because she lost weight or she decided she was going to become the ideal. She changed the way she thought and the way she thought about herself and other people. And I think that's really important. And that was hard work. But I think that for me, that was the most important message. Yeah. It's heartbreaking and sad, but at the same time, very, very positive and uplifting at the end.
That's Starfish by Lisa Phipps. Couple more to go with Catherine Ross, who's Director of Library at Auckland Grammar, with some recommendations. The Canyon's Edge.
Yes, so this one's just one, again, verse novel. It's a little bit complex because it starts off with a young girl or a teenager and her father going on a camping trip, doing some climbing in the desert, but they're going because it's been a year since her mother died in a mass shooting in America. So they're dealing with their own trauma. There's a lot of trauma to start with. They're both dealing with survivor's guilt. It's affected the way they live their lives. So they've gone out to have this time alone together. And literally as soon as the trip starts, her father ends up being washed away in a flash flood. And it just sounds so awful. She's gone through all of this, and then this happens as well.
Yeah.
So he's washed away in a flash flood, all their equipment, and she basically needs to survive in the desert and find her way out, get help, and hopefully find her father. So it does deal with some very big emotions. But I can hear people going, why on earth would you want to give a child this book to read? But spoiler alert, I feel compelled to add, it does have a happy ending for the father and daughter duo.
Okay, thank you. A couple more for us, Catherine, before we go?
Yep, I can jump. What About Will is a good one. But it is a very quite traumatizing one. It deals with issues of suicide, some drug use. It's about a young, but it's told through the eyes of a 12-year-old, so it's very much aimed at that kind of way of thinking and language. So it's about a young boy whose older brother, who he adores, has a serious head injury while playing American football and is left with brain damage, which manifests in lots of different ways, including impulse and anger issues and depression. And so it's about Trace sort of learning to deal with that and understanding that sometimes you need to ask for help rather than try and constantly fix things or cover. So that's got a lot of very big issues and complexity in it as well. So maybe not for the faint of heart.
Thank you, Catherine.
Okay.
Great to have you on.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.